You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
The Punt, William Hill's top flight football podcast.
Hello everyone, welcome along to the Punt podcast. Myself and Lee Phelps here, Dave Kellner with Lee Phelps, to look ahead to a couple of matches this midweek in the Premier League and reflect on what we have seen over the weekend.
I'm pleased that you, because people might not know who myself is. It's like your 12:45 p.m, isn't it? You're making sure people give everyone the facts.
I want to be
complain.
I don't want to be fully transparent on this podcast. I don't want to mislead anyone.
Nope.
And obviously,
I agree.
You don't either.
No.
Even though some of you bet sometimes say otherwise.
No, that's not misleading. That's just mistipping.
Mistipping.
You'd find that's called. I would hate to anyone think I'm doing it on purpose, because I'm seriously not that good.
We never talk about naps on this podcast. This isn't the nap podcast, is it? This is the midweek punt podcast, which is a completely different being, isn't it? Mm-hmm. It's a different beast to the weekend football podcast. And I'm looking forward to the weekend, just so we're going to have an update on the naps table, aren't we?
Of course, the weekend for the final run in. Basically, four and five games left. There'll be four left for all the teams after this midweek, won't there? So, plenty to look forward to. I can't wait to see what I need to do. I'm going to have to go for 4-1s and bigger. I need a new rule.
You need to be putting together score, draw, doubles, don't you, and stuff like that to get back in touch.
The way this works, a couple of decent 3-4-1 shots and you're right back in it.
Okay, let's get...
I must say, though, on the very last thing on the naps, well done on yours, by the way.
Thank you.
Derek... He had Villa to win 11-1. When they were 2-2, they had
a chance.
City got away with it, didn't they?
Yeah, they did.
So he could have easily had an 11-1 winner and just blown us out of the park completely.
Should we start with the top end of the table?
Why not?
We've got to finish in the top four prices, and this looks, from a betting perspective, to be almost done and dusted following the weekend's action. Arsenal 1-250 to finish in the top four. Man City 1-100. Man United 1-16. Liverpool 7-1. Southampton 50-1. And Tottenham in the betting at 50-1. Liverpool with a game in hand on Manchester United, but 7 points behind them now. And we'll talk about Liverpool, because they're playing Hull midweek. But they missed an opportunity to... gain a bit of ground on, well, gain more ground on Manchester United.
I think they should, they really should have done as well, shouldn't they? I mean, they'll must view that draw at West Brom as being a chance missed, because now if they had won that game, there'd be 5 points between them and Manchester United with a game in hand, and you could make an argument then. But I just don't know what Liverpool's motivation is. We're being told today that Sturridge won't play again this season. That's what they've been missing. The goals, Balotelli's, just not right, is he? Now they've got, this midweek game that we'll preview soon. They've got QPR at home, they've got Chelsea away, Palace at home, Stoke away. That's it. You wouldn't really expect them to get much out of Chelsea. Maybe a point. Chelsea won the title by then. But I really can't see Man United slipping up enough for Liverpool to catch them. So I wouldn't be touching the top four market. Without Chelsea market, it's probably the most interesting one, I guess, isn't it?
Yeah, Arsenal are 4-9 in that market. Man City 2-1. Manchester United 14-1, and Liverpool in the betting at 200-1. Manchester City, we've mentioned this, slightly fortunate to get the result over Aston Villa. At the weekend, went 1-0 up early on after 3 minutes, and I was looking on Twitter and. People like Stan Collymore predicting a rout at that point. If Villa keep on playing like this, it will be 5 or 6. And that didn't materialise. Kolarov scored in the 66th minute, but they still looked edgy late on. Cleverley and Sanchez both scored. Sanchez the equaliser after 85 minutes. And as you mentioned, there was an opportunity for Villa to win that game before Fernandinho went up the other end and got that winner in the 89th minute.
Yeah, they just look so careless at the moment and so... complacent Man City. They don't seem to be able to string much together. I mean, that 2-0 win against West Ham, I said it on the before the weekend on the punt, that wasn't as convincing as that 2-0 looks at all. Now they go, the next four games on the running, away at Tottenham, home to QPR, away at Swansea and at home to Southampton. You'd expect them to, to win three of the four maybe, but I'm not sure they'll get results in all four of the games. Arsenal have got a game in hand, away at Hull, home to Swansea, away at Man United, home to Sunderland, home to West Brom. Really, they should pick up as many points in their home games as City will pick up in their remaining four games.
Yes.
I think that's a fair argument. And then they've got Hull away and Man United away to pick up extras. I mean, I think, people the Mourinho answer to that question yesterday. I don't know if you heard it, when the BBC interviewer said, what about the Arsenal fans singing boring, boring Chelsea? And he said, no, I think you're wrong. I think they were singing boring, boring Arsenal because, you know, they haven't won a title in 10 years. That's what I call boring. They really had a go. And Arsenal were disappointing. They did what we thought they would do. They already knew that Man United had lost, so they only needed a point. Why go out and lose or risk losing, come away with nothing? As it is, they picked up a point at home to the champions, and on they go. You know, I didn't think there was anything wrong with either the way either team approached that game, to be honest with you.
It was one of those. It was the most obvious 0-0 of the season, wasn't it? Derek tipped up 0-0 on the Pump podcast last weekend, and it was once the team news was announced as well, and yeah. Chelsea didn't go with any recognised centre forward. It looked an absolute stick on, but obviously I didn't
back
it.
Yeah, the draw was the stick on result. That was your nap, and I think even if you think, a bit of magic might get a goal for each side. I thought, you know, both seemed to settle for the draw pretty much. So, I mean, on those odds, I mean, you know, City 2-1. You could maybe argue that they are a touch of value. They're on joint points.
I think they're 4-9s. Yeah,
they've got a 3-better goal difference than Arsenal, but they don't. They're not, for me, they're not showing signs of improving. Really, you know, only just beating Villa 3-2 isn't good enough for me. I think Arsenal will, like I say, will probably get as many points as them in three games.
What about Manchester United at 14-1?
No, I don't think they'll catch Arsenal now. I mean, I know they've got to play each other, but I think Manchester United showed some signs of fallibility this weekend with that result at Everton. I mean, Everton haven't been pulling up any trees. We did mention before the weekend how good their defensive record is. That's two defeats on the spin now away from home for Manchester United. They've got West Brom at home, Palace away, Arsenal at home, and Hull away. Yeah, maybe you could.
If you think they've got a realistic chance of possibility of beating Arsenal at Old Trafford,
then the 14-1's a decent point.
Then the 14-1's.
Just like that extra game in hand.
They've got the extra game in hand, so it is going to be difficult for them to reel in.
Yeah, I think
Arsenal
it does look a bit big, admittedly, especially if you back that now and they it's close and Man United beat Arsenal, then it could be really interesting. But after that Man United game, Arsenal have still got the two games. You know, they play Sunderland on the Wednesday night after that. So, you know, if they've been beaten, it's very close. Arsenal have got two home games to finish on against Sunderland and West Brom.
I suppose the only thing you could say is by that time, Sunderland might be just scrapping for that point, might they, and go up there and set up very defensively. And Arsenal should have the capabilities to break them down. And
you would think so.
I'd much rather back Arsenal at 4-9 than Man City at 2-1 now. And if I was going to have an outside punt in the without Chelsea market, Manchester United at 14-1 would
That's
be
the only bet for me.
Yeah,
to be honest, if you want to have a bet, because 4-9 is a bit skinny for me, really. But yeah, that would be the only bet. And just if you get a run until that game between the two of them, then I think you're onto a nice bet.
Let's spin through the relegation market here with William Hill. QPR 1-16 to go down. Burnley 1-8. Sunderland 8-15. Hull 7-4, Leicester 4-1 now to be relegated, Aston Villa 6-1, Newcastle into 16-1 now from that 150s Derek McGovern mentioned on the Punt podcast a couple of weeks ago, West Brom 100-1 in that market. Our latest standings at the bottom of the table are Burnley, rock bottom, 20th, they've picked up 26 points from 34 matches, minus 26 their goal difference. QPR at 19th in the table, 34 games played, 27 points, minus 21 the goal difference. Sunderland, with a game in hand, they've played 33, got 30 points, minus 23 the goal difference. And Leicester and Hull City, both with 31 points on the board, in 17th and 16th place respectively, both with a very similar goal difference as well. Leicester City minus 16, Hull City minus 14. Couple of big results for Leicester and for Hull. At the weekend, this run Leicester have been on has been incredible, and the bottom three now all odds on to be relegated. 1-16 QPR, 1-8 Burnley, and 8-15 Sunderland. First of all, do you think QPR and Burnley are doomed, as doomed as the betting suggests they are?
I think that. Yeah, I mean, I can't see. I think Burnley are doomed. I think Burnley finished bottom, and at 5-4 in the to finish bottom market, I think that's a touch of value there. Because I do think that QPR have still got something about them. They a penalty miss in that game, and you're just thinking, what? You know, at this stage of the season, Charlie Austin, you know, missing penalties, it's just, yeah, you'd have put your mortgage on him scoring that. They're away at Liverpool, away at City, home to Newcastle, away to Leicester. Even if you're really kind to them, you can only really see them picking up a maximum of 6 points there, and that is being really kind to them, isn't it? So yeah, that could potentially lift them to 33. I don't think Burnley might not pick up another point. Now their actual fixture list doesn't look that difficult necessarily. They're away at West Ham, but their away form is dreadful. They just can't score goals well anywhere, especially away from home. Away at Hull, scrapping for the lives. You'd probably favour Hull in that game. At home to Stoke City. Now the home form has been pretty bad as well. Haven't scored in the last three against Tottenham, Arsenal, Leicester. And then they finish up the season away at Villa. All games where you think they could get something.
Yes.
I don't think they will get an awful lot at all at any of them. Just because the goals have completely dried up now. You know, it's absolutely ages since they scored a goal. In fact, the last win was when they scored a goal against Man City. You know, 2-0 defeat at Southampton, 0-0 at home to Tottenham, lost 1-0 to Arsenal, lost 1-0 at Everton, lost 1-0 at Leicester. So I think Burnley will finish bottom. I think that the stuffing's probably been knocked out of them by now. QPR, I can't see them escaping, really. I mean, even if they got those 6 points that I think they possibly could get, that means Leicester and Hull, who are both on 31, would have to not get another point. Sunderland are an interesting one. They look like they're in free fall, really. Got a 1-1 draw at Stoke. They've got the game in hand, though, which is obviously going to be important to them. They've got Southampton at home, Everton away, Leicester at home, and then Arsenal and Chelsea away from home as the last two games of the season. This was a time last year when they started to really motor and they started to pull up results. I don't see them getting anything at Everton, Arsenal or Chelsea, even if those three teams are done and dusted. So maybe 6 points. I could see Sunderland going down, to be honest with you. I think they've been in free fall for a while. They only seem to be able to get themselves up for that Newcastle game. I'm not a massive fan. Hull, I think the home form might just rescue them. You know, that was a huge win, wasn't it, at Palace? I couldn't believe that Palace didn't score. But the home form's not been bad. You know, they've lost two games in the last six at home. One was to Chelsea, like losing 3-2, and one was to Newcastle, which is a shocking result. Drew with Sunderland, but I think, you know, if they can win,
this could be. I think this could be bottom three. Couldn't it? This bottom three right now could finish the season.
It's just what I mean.
18th, 19th,
what a running they've got. Hull at home to Liverpool, at home to Arsenal, at home to Burnley, away at Tottenham, at home to Man City,
Manchester United. At least
Manchester United.
At least they're all. At least they've got 4 out of 5 home games.
Yeah, which is the very least you can hope for. I mean, you wouldn't be surprised to see them get something against Liverpool. Liverpool have kind of down tools a little bit, but yeah, I wouldn't be surprised at all if it's the bottom three who go now. Sunderland, QPR, and Burnley. I think Leicester have probably done enough, but they need to keep going. You know, it's all right thinking, oh yeah, we've done it. You know, they're only on 31 points, and look, to be honest, Villa, you know, only on 32 points. They're in the FA Cup final. You've got to be careful that your mind isn't taken. But I think they showed enough in the City game that they can get another couple of results along the way. Maybe the game against Burnley and the game against West Ham, both at home.
I think Tim Sherwood's the sort of manager as well, when even though he's never going to be paraded as a tactical genius, he will ensure that his players are fully focused on Premier League survival. He will make sure that they're... Strikes me as a decent man-to-man manager. So if any of the players are distracted by the FA Cup final coming up, he'll make sure they are put back in their place quickly,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, I think that's fair. The final thing I'd say about relegation picture is what I've always said, is that if you... And there are rare examples of this, like Sunderland last season. If you look at the if you divide the number of points by the number of games, and that average is pretty much what they'll get for the last four games as well. Don't expect these teams to go on this mad run of three straight wins. I know Leicester have...
Unless it's Leicester City, yeah.
Yeah, but they've been playing... They're a different thing, really, because they've been playing relatively well all season, just been not getting the rub of the green. And they've just started to get those results coming a little bit more, and maybe playing some easier teams as well. So, but what I mean is Burnley aren't just suddenly going to find goals from somewhere. Same for QPR. You know, they scored 4 home goals since the start of the year, QPR. That doesn't change dramatically, I don't think.
Let's get stuck into the midweek fixtures then, because we've got 2 Premier League games this midweek. This is Tuesday, 7:45 p.m. Hull, 3-1. The draw, 11-5. Liverpool, even money in this match at the KC Stadium. Match result in both teams to score. Hull are 13-2 in that market. The draw, 16-5. Liverpool in the betting at 17-5. A big result for Hull away at Crystal Palace. That 2-0 win gives them serious hopes of survival now. Liverpool picked up a point on Manchester United in the race for the top four, despite only drawing at West Brom at the weekend. I saw a lot of that match here in the studio, Lee, and they dominated possession, Liverpool, but they couldn't get the breakthrough. They've clearly missed Daniel Sturridge. It's something that Brendan Rodgers has he's reiterated time and time again. They haven't got another striker with his capabilities, really. And maybe even he's not clinical enough. We saw Sturridge have an incredible season last season, but that was alongside Luis Suarez. And it's impossible to replace a player like Suarez. So it's difficult to envisage Liverpool walloping someone at the moment because they can't score goals, or they're struggling to score goals.
Yeah, and again, I go back to that motivation thing. I mean, what have they really got to play for? Towards the end of the season, not an awful lot, really, is there? I mean, obviously, the Europa League football, but who wants that, really? I mean, and Pochettino pretty much came out and said that they don't really want the Europa. I think Liverpool and Tottenham would probably relatively happy if Southampton pit them to fifth spot. Obviously, it depends what happens in the other competitions.
I suppose the Europa does have it gives access to the Champions League now, doesn't it?
Mm.
If you go on a real run in the Europa League and you win it, and I mean, for teams like Tottenham and Southampton, they will maybe not have the squad strength to break through into the top four next season. I think Liverpool will expect to gain a top four berth next season, but for Tottenham and Southampton, it's perhaps their only realistic opportunity to get into the Champions League in the near future.
Yeah, definitely. I think it is. And you could argue the same about Liverpool, couldn't you? I mean,
you could say
how are they going to break this top four now?
It's going to be tough because you can only see Manchester United progressing next season, lots of money to spend in the summer, and serious signs of revival at the back end of this season. Arsenal always looks set under Wenger. Arsene Wenger keeps getting them into the Champions League. Chelsea top under Mourinho. You can't see them not finishing in the top four. And Manchester City, maybe they'll be in a period of transition next season, but it remains to be seen. So maybe even Liverpool, you could bracket them in there.
Yeah.
Europa League best chance of Champions League qualification next
season. Perhaps, yeah. But then it's kind of the opposite of a perfect circle, isn't it? Because then that disrupts your season so much that you're not going to get into the Champions League by finishing fourth. Look what has happened to Everton. Suddenly they're starting to motor now. By the way, they're in the top 10. Remember that price on them last week? Was it last week or the week before?
They've been a
really good bet for the top 10 and overtaking West Ham. Back to this game. I think the motivation is more with Hull than it is with Liverpool. But Liverpool got this tremendous away defensive record. If you take out the 4-1 defeat to Arsenal, which I know is pretty difficult, that was the first time they'd conceded goals since they lost 3-0 to Manchester United. They kept clean sheets away at Burnley, Sunderland, Villa, Everton, Southampton, Swansea, and then now West Brom. I wouldn't be surprised if Liverpool kept a clean sheet here. It's just whether they can score. I mean, Hull have been scoring goals at home. 2 against Chelsea, 1 against Sunderland, 2 against QPR, 2 against Villa, 2 against Everton. That's going to be interesting. And Doyle's been the man who's been scoring for them at home as well. He's been, I think he's scored in 3 of the last 4 home games.
He has, yeah.
So I think if you are looking at goal scorers, I think he's overpriced at 2-1 to score any time at his home stadium. But I mean, you look down at the list, and there's not many more who you'd be backing to score, is there?
No, and you mentioned their home record recently isn't terrible, but there's only one team in the Premier League that have got fewer points at home this season, and that's Aston Villa.
Yep.
So it's no surprise that those two are both on the fringes of the relegation zone at the moment, Aston Villa and Hull, because you do need to perform at home to stay in the Premier League, but. It's one of those cases, again, even money Liverpool. We said it at the weekend away at West Brom. You'd want, and they ended up slight odds on, didn't they, in the lead up to that match?
You should be gobbling that option, yeah.
You should be, but you can't at the moment.
You can't.
And I think that it's a case here, again, I don't think you can be pro Liverpool at even money because of their lack of goal scoring prospects at the moment.
Yeah. I was looking at the unders and overs goals. Under 2.5, 13-20.
That's because there's a likelihood of that landing, I think.
That makes me want to go the opposite way.
Yes.
And just go over 2.5. But I'm going to play another draw here. I think Liverpool, I don't think they've got that many goals in them. Hull are going to be caught between a rock and a hard place here. Do they go for it and try and go for the win? Or do they just say, right, we'll take a point here. This is our game in hand. We'll take a point, move ourselves on to 32. Because you've got to remember, and all these things come into consideration at this stage of the season, they've got another point on all those other teams, maybe barring Leicester, with their goal difference. You know, they've got a 7-goal better goal difference than Newcastle and QPR, and then it gets bigger from it. 8 better than Villa, 9 better than Sunderland, and 12 better than Burnley. So yeah, that acts another point. Yes, I think they'll be pretty content to pick up a point here. So I'm going to go for the draw.
I like the draw.
And the draw on under 2.5 is 3-1. Yeah. Probably, I mean, it's unlikely there's going to be a 2-2. So whether you want to take that extra bit, it's 11-5 the price for the draw. So if you want to bump that up to 3-1 with a draw and unders, and you get your 0-0 and 1-1.
I like the 0-0 here. 8-1 as well. I could easily see this being an 0-0 draw. Bit of team news as well for you as well. David Myler is back, available to Steve Bruce. He's served the final game of his ban at Crystal Palace. Curtis Davis is still out with a thigh injury, though. Andrew Robertson remains out with an ankle injury. And Mohamed Diame is doubtful as well with a knee problem. Brendan Rodgers, he's still missing Daniel Sturridge because he's got a hip problem, still out. Lucas is out as well with a thigh injury, and Mamadou Sakho also likely to be sidelined. And the other bit of interesting news is Alberto Moreno has got a knock, and he's going to be monitored over the next couple of days to see whether he's fit to take his place. He's looked fantastic coming forward for a lot of the season, Alberto Moreno. So interesting to see if they make it.
One other quick one.
Yeah.
If you want to go for a goal scorer on the Liverpool side of things, on whoscored.com, they give you a team characteristics, and they say in amongst Hull's weaknesses, they're very weak at defending against long shots and defending against skillful players. Liverpool's strengths, very strong, creating long shot opportunities. And Philippe Coutinho is 21 to 10 to score.
Looks like a perfect fit, doesn't it? A skillful player with a fantastic long range shot. So
basically, I'm going 1-1, Coutinho and Doi.
Yeah, I'll play the 0-0 in the game, 8-1.
Draw for safety.
Yes, draw for safety, which is 11-5. The game Wednesday, 7:45 p.m. is Leicester City versus Chelsea. Leicester 9-2, the draw 12-5, Chelsea 7-10. We've actually got a couple of headline offers here as well. Leonardo Ochoa to score and Leicester to win is 10-1. Eden Hazard to score and Chelsea to win is in the betting at 5-2. You could see after they gained that 0-0 draw at the Emirates on Sunday afternoon, Lee, the relief was palpable, but also the celebrations were intense. They knew that was the moment, even though everyone else knew they'd already won the championship. Mm. That was the moment they believed they've sealed this 2014-2015 title.
Yeah, yeah. Mourinho, I was asked about that as well. Like, kind of, why was John Terry celebrating a 0-0? And he correctly said, well, because it's one of the best performances. Well, he actually said it's one of the best performances I've ever seen from John Terry. I mean, I think maybe one of the season's performances would be better. But did you watch the? I don't know if you watched the game, but Terry was immense.
I only saw
Terry
bits
was
of
everywhere.
It, but I read the reports.
There were two Terrys on the pitch at times. I mean, like, it was just unbelievable. There was one typical example where he's kind of almost been dispossessed, or he's not got the ball. He sprinted back into position. When the ball comes in, who's there but John Terry? He was fantastic again, you know. And whatever you think about John Terry, and most people don't think an awful lot of him, you know, his presence in that Chelsea team is phenomenal, really. Well, Leicester are on this crest of a wave. You just wonder if they'll maintain that kind of drive against this Chelsea team. And after all this kind of chat about Chelsea being boring, I wonder if you'll let them off the leash a little bit here. I mean, will they sit back against Leicester and soak it up and just hit them on the break?
They'll play the same way they always play, in my opinion. No, I suppose not. A couple of interesting stats here leading into this match as well. Chelsea have won their last 5 Premier League matches against Leicester City.
Yeah.
Their unbeaten run now stands at 13 games as well. They've won 9 and drawn 4 in that spell. These have come from Opta, by the way. They can match that.
They're out of your head.
No, they can match that run of 14 unbeaten earlier in the season as well. Leicester City looking to win 5 successive top flight games for the first time since January 1964. Which is incredible.
That's not going to happen.
No.
I can say Leicester won't win this game.
You think that... I mean, a lot of people might look at Chelsea at 7-10 and see top versus... I mean, 10 points clear at the top of the Premier League versus a team that a month ago were dead and buried. Mm. You'd never have thought about getting 7-10 back.
No,
then,
no. But... it's a ridiculous price. I'm going to be greedy. I mean, I think anyone can take that. I think Chelsea will do this.
Do you think they'll win?
Yeah. I'll tell you what I do like, though. When you look at Chelsea's performances against the lower teams, like when they play, you know, away, you know, at some of the better teams, they do shut up shop. They conceded 2 at Hull, 1 at Villa, 5 at Tottenham, 1 at Southampton. Conceded, they lost 2-1 at Newcastle, remember? You know, they conceded at Palace and, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm going for Chelsea to win, but both teams to score here at 13-5.
Right.
I think Hazard's another good bet. He's a headline offer. Obviously crowned the Player of the Year this weekend, just gone. And justifiably so. Mainly for the fact that he's embarked on the most dribbles, I think. That's probably the reason why. 254. That's from Opta as well, in case you're wondering.
He's been incredible, hasn't he, this season?
Yeah. But I can see this being one of those games. You know, we talked earlier on the season in the Premier League and in the Champions League where Chelsea take the early lead. They just take the foot off the pedal a little bit, allow the other team back in, then they go up the gears again. I can see Chelsea, you know, leading early on, but then, you know, Leicester pegging them back to maybe 1-1 before Chelsea win it. Chelsea have scored the most goals in the opening 15 minutes of the Premier League games this season, by the way. 14 goals they've scored in the opening 15 minutes. And interestingly, Leicester have conceded more goals in the first half of Premier League games this season than Chelsea have conceded full stop. So, you know, Leicester have conceded 27 in the first halves and Chelsea have conceded 26 all season long. So, so Chelsea to win and both teams to score. Really like that. Chelsea to be leading at 15 minutes is 19-5. And that's there have been 14 goals in the opening 15 minutes of games this season. If you don't want just to be leading, then you can go on the goal time betting and you can go for time of first Chelsea goal up to and including the 15th minute, 16-5. It's not bad when you consider that stat.
Yep.
I'll settle for Chelsea to win, both teams to score. And if it's quite late on, you know, if Chelsea do take the lead and Leicester peg them back and you're watching this game and having a bet in play, then I'd be looking at it to get on Chelsea if that does happen, if they get pegged back, because they will win the game eventually.
I wonder if Diego Costa will return. I mean,
they've said he might not return this season.
Have they said that? I've been reading that he is a doubt and Loic Remy is likely to miss out. So it does leave Chelsea, as we mentioned numerous times recently, stretched a little bit.
I don't think that matters
with
a team like Leicester. I think the players breaking from midfield are perfectly capable against a team of Leicester's ilk, if I'm being honest. I don't think you necessarily have to have. In fact, I think it's probably harder for a team like Leicester to defend against runners from midfield than it is for them to defend against out and out strikers. I can't find any more news on Costa at the minute.
No, I think Drogba obviously came on at the weekend and he might feature for the full 90 minutes. He's had injury problems of his own as well.
Yep.
But I wonder whether if Diego Costa is to return this season, whether it might come in this game. And he's 19-20 score anytime. But as always, check the team news first of all. So Chelsea to win the game at 7-10, Lee, and match result, both teams to score, Chelsea at 13-5. Which is your favourite bet?
Well, Chelsea to win 7-10.
Yeah.
At that price, it has to be, doesn't it? Really, but I do like the 13-5 as well. I fancy that.
And those people baying for Nigel Pearson's blood, myself included.
You. Told you, didn't I?
I've
Big Ron
been
always.
Made,
Big Ron
been
always
made to
said
look slightly foolish.
He loved Nigel Pearson. He said he'd be a great manager. So I just kind of trusted in Big Ron. I mean, he is a bit of a character, to be fair, isn't he? But it's funny, isn't it? How he was walking around the pitch and all Leicester fans were like, you know, clapping him and all that. Like, oh yeah, brilliant. Yeah. A couple of months ago.
If spectators weren't to be fickle, it would be boring.
Yeah, it would. That's true. Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the podcast, folks. Make sure you get your bets on for Hull City and Liverpool. That's a Tuesday 7:45 p.m. kickoff. Leicester versus Chelsea, Wednesday 7:45 p.m. And of course, you can listen to us on William Hill's In Play Radio, covering those matches in their entirety on Wednesday and Thursday evening. Thank you again for listening to the podcast. Remember, you can download this via iTunes by typing in William Hill, and you can get us on audioboom.com as well, again by typing in William Hill. And myself, Lee and Derek McGovern will be back for a full fixture list in the Premier League at the weekend. That podcast will be out on Friday lunchtime. Until then, we'll speak again very soon.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.